Computer science drives job growth and innovation throughout our economy, as well as our society. Computing occupations are the number one source of all new wages in the U.S., and they make up more than half of all projected new jobs in the STEM field, making computer science one of the most in-demand college degrees. Computing is used all around us, and really virtually in every field. Some would argue it's foundational knowledge that all students need. However, only 35% of U.S. high schools teach any computer science courses, and only 8% of STEM graduates actually study it. This week is National Computer Science Education Week, and the goal, it's simple, to help inform more people about the need for this area of study. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this are Dr. Angela Hemingway, Executive Director of the Idaho STEM Action Center, and Finia Din, Computer Science Program Manager at the Idaho STEM Action Center. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
So I'd like to start with you, Angela. Why is this area of study so important?
Well, I think many Idahoans know that we're the fastest growing state in the nation, but we're also the third fastest in job growth and second in the nation in tech sector growth. So we are booming. Our economy is booming, and it really is growing around this technology area. And right now, we have 18,000 unfilled jobs in Idaho. Over 6,000 of those are STEM jobs. Many of those are in computer science. So through the STEM Action Center and our work, we just provide opportunities to give professional development to educators who in turn can share that training and tools with their students and inspire them to go into or at least be aware of these computer science opportunities that exist.
And I read a statistic today as well off of code.org, this website, that also said like the average job, when you look at what people would make, it's in Idaho, it's about $70,000. So you're talking good money going into this field.
Correct. So it's about $30,000 more than if they choose to go into a different type of career. So there is an opportunity for personal income as well as this opportunity to help grow our economy as a whole.
So then where do we fall or fail when it comes to not teaching this as often, the computer science classes? And because 35% of high schools in the United States only teach computer science. How do we move that number forward?
Well, one way that we're approaching it through the STEM Action Center is to help current educators that are in the classroom understand ways that they can integrate computer science into the disciplines that they currently teach. So integrating it into their science class, into their math class, it becomes part of that curriculum that they're currently teaching. In addition, we are also working with colleges and universities to ensure that we have a pipeline of educators that are coming through that can teach standalone computer science courses. So providing teachers with the training and the resources they need to be able to do this confidently is a critical piece of the mission that we're taking on right now.
And Finia, in your position, it is getting out to the schools, right? And making sure that we're teaching more of coding, computer science, things like that to our students.
Yeah, so we have a lot of opportunities, as Angela said, grant opportunities, professional development, competitions, and camps. So that's typically where our budget lies. But we provide opportunities for educators and out-of-school educators to apply to. So really, as Angela said, really trying to incorporate that into their classrooms and or have a standalone CS class, but really integrating is the key at the younger levels.
And parents and teachers want their kids to be taught this, correct?
Absolutely. We keep hearing from educators and, parents with our surveys that computer science is so important. And through education channels right now, it's a lot of talk that CS is the fourth R.
Right.
Reading, writing, arithmetic, and now algorithms. And so it's really becoming a fundamental thing that students need to learn to really have this computational thinking going forward with those problem-solving skills and critical thinking. And so it's going to be really important for our future workforce that Angela had talked about earlier.
And Angela, let's talk a little bit about the STEM Action Center, because some people may not be aware of what it is and who you are. So you are, the governor is your boss. I mean, this center was put in place so that we could move this agenda forward in Idaho.
Absolutely. And that's the goal of what we've been laser focused on. So we are legislated to do a number of different initiatives, including the computer science initiative, which makes up about half of our budget. So annually, we spend about $2 million on our computer science initiatives, primarily in professional development, ensuring that teachers have resources and tools. We also work really hard to listen to and engage industry. That's another partner that's at the table with us, helping create our computer science standards that the state now has, helping us understand how to create programs and provide opportunities for educators and students to be able to understand kind of this future movement of computer science so that these students, as they exit their traditional classrooms and enter into a career, they have the skill set, not just the technical skill set, but as Fania mentioned, the critical, creative thinking, problem solving, all of these things that STEM and computer science helps students to develop as they transition into the workforce.
And we should note that a lot of times when we talk about education, Idaho doesn't always do great. In this regard, we are actually on some of the leading edge when it comes to computer science and coding, correct?
Yeah. So we're actually leading in computer science. Like you said, it's kind of crazy to think Idaho is doing this, but we actually were just named the second state in the nation to adopt all of Code.org's 9 education recommendation policies. And so that's really laying a foundation for us to make computer science fundamental in education. And so we're really proud. We had a lot of key stakeholders at the table, and it's been years in the making, but we had some great people, like Angela said, our industry partners like Micron Foundation, Idaho National Labs. We had the State Board and the State Office of Education, Idaho Digital Learning Academy and the Idaho Technology Council. So a lot of key stakeholders saying this is really important, and we're able to help us kind of move those through the legislature.
Go ahead.
And being uniquely positioned in the governor's office, I think, shows just how important it is to bring these stakeholder groups together to really move the needle on computer science education, to provide that workforce that our companies are demanding now and that's projected to continue to grow into the future.
I'm speaking with Dr. Angela Hemingway, Executive Director of the Idaho STEM Action Center, and Fania Din. She is the Computer Science Program Manager at the Idaho STEM Action Center. We're talking about this being Idaho STEM Education Week. And one of the things going on this week, explain this, is what, an hour of code? Did I get the name right?
Yeah, hour of code, yep.
So what is this? Because it's across the nation this week, right, where there are going to be things going on where kids can code?
Yeah, so CS Education Week, as you said earlier, is kind of more of a grassroots efforts to really try and get people to get inspired to try computer science activities. And one way to do it is Hour of Code. Hour of Code is really these fun tutorials that last an hour. So we're really trying to get people to commit to at least 1 hour of coding, parents, students, educators. And so really trying at least 1 hour of coding. There's lots of different events across the state. We have about 500 that are registered through code.org, but that isn't all of them. And so we also have teamed up with various organizations to hold other Hour of Code events or events that people can pop into, try, and see if they like it, and hopefully encourage them to pursue their interest in it.
And coding is fun.
I was just going to ask you that, because I think sometimes we have to change the conversation around computer science and STEM and get out of that idea that, you know, it's only for those, you know, the scientist people and all of that, because people have to know that it's fun. Kids have to know that this is fun. They get to be on a computer, they get to code, and they really are engaged in learning a tool that will be useful for the rest of their lives. And do we have to change kind of the culture around how we've always thought about computer science?
Well, and that's why we feel it's so important to engage with communities, with parents, and with children of all ages. Mm-hmm. So they have an opportunity to make Elsa ice skate, or to make the Monster Girls dance, or to do these really fun activities through code.org that help them understand that it is not just sitting playing games.
Right. It's cool.
Actually cool to code, and you can create create these stories around coding. And so this is really the opportunity for people to engage. They can do it from the comfort of their own home. While there's 500 events that are registered going on throughout Idaho related to Hour of Code, there you can go to the code.org website and participate right from the comfort of your own home. Mm-hmm. So if there is an event going on in your local community or it doesn't work with your schedule, you can still hop on, grab your kiddos, or just do it on your own and have some fun coding.
And can I tell you this? There is something about my, so I have a fifth grader, and the question I get all the time is like, when is this going to be useful in my life? Well, you know what? When it comes to coding, because they do Khan Academy at his school, and so I just found out the other day that he codes with it. It's like, you can get a job. That's what you can do with this. I mean, and brass tacks, I mean, that is, if they stay in this, and if these classes are provided, this not only gets them a job, but it helps our economy.
Correct. And within 8 years, 80% of jobs are projected to require some type of computing knowledge. So we need to make sure that kids have the opportunity to engage and understand how to work with it, since so many jobs are going to require that type of skill set.
Stephania, even though we are, you know, on the leading edge of this in Idaho, we still have schools, though, that don't offer these classes. What can parents do? What can educators do? Because since you do give out grant money, is part of it just not knowing that that's available?
Yeah, I think that's a big hurdle that we need to overcome, is really trying to get out there and make it aware that we have funding opportunities available. But I also think as parents, I would say really talk to your teachers and demand it. Because if you're demanding that you want your kids to learn the skill set, then they will seek out opportunities that we provide and we can help with. I also think that, to your point earlier, like, this is something that cuts across every single industry. And so if you're thinking you want to go into health, but you also want to code, there's opportunities there for you. If you want to do social justice or even just create games, or if there's this is a really cool story up north. So I don't know if you guys heard about the Ability app. So Alex Knoll.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. He is 13 now, I think. But he started this app that is now a business. He met Tim Cook with Apple. He was on Ellen. But he was this kid who went to one of our Invent Idaho competitions. And he saw this need for this He saw this guy that was trying to open the door. He was in a wheelchair.
He was in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah.
So he couldn't open the door.
Right. And he's like, well, he didn't know. He wanted to help him. And he kind of decided, like, wouldn't it be really cool if there was an app to tell you where all these locations, ADA locations, would be? So you can have access to this easier. So he created that. And that's a lot of coding. And it's such a cool story. But really, I mean, you don't have to be an adult to code. You could be at any level of your, of your education and really kind of pursue something like this.
So very quickly, before we wrap up, if people want to do this Hour of Code, where do they find where do they find out all the information?
Yeah, it's really not too late. So we have a really great resource on our resources portal on our website. So you can go to stem.idaho.gov/CS, computer science, and check out our resources page. But there's tons of free different activities through our Hour of Code portal there. And you can click on any of them. You can incorporate it into your classroom. Like Angela said, you could do it at home. You can do it with your kids. They're tutorials. They're games. They're really fun, but it really does help make you think and give you that computational thinking.
And I would love to invite you guys to STEM Matters Day at the Capitol, where we invite legislators to come and code with some of the kids.
Okay, I would love to see that.
STEM Matters Day is actually January 23rd. It will be at the Capitol. We take over the entire Capitol and do a variety of different fun STEM events. Hands-on activities. It's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And so look for that in January.
Thank you both for coming in today and talking about this. My guest today, Dr. Angela Hemingway, Executive Director of the Idaho STEM Action Center, and Finia Din, Computer Science Program Manager at the Idaho STEM Action Center. Great conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You.